The concept then of buyout was your concept. People weren't doing that.
That's right. We started it. There was nobody doing it at the time. In fact, for years, nobody understood what we were doing, which is great. I sort of like that. In fact, I liked it more than I like it now, because now practically every country in the world has private equity. Banks will lend, people have set up private equity firms, or there are others outside that are investing in companies. If you had asked me when we started, you think you'll invest in China? I said, you got to be kidding me. China is a communist country. You think you'll invest in Vietnam? Well, we were at war with Vietnam not so much earlier than when we started KKR. You think you'll buy a company in Serbia or Ethiopia? I said, absolutely not. Lo and behold, we bought companies all over the world. The idea of private equity has proliferated enormously today. As I say, there's probably not a bank anywhere in the world that doesn't lend against private equity to help somebody buy a company. Now, since the Stone Age, people would put up a little bit of equity and borrow as much as they could. You know, they wanted to start a corner grocery store or whatever it is. That's how you got going. So nothing new to that. But what was new is we were able to commercialize it. We were able to make it into a business. We were able to get pension funds, both state pension funds and corporate pension funds, insurance companies, banks, and others to give us money to go into funds. We would end up with, you know, as I said, our first fund was $35 million that we successfully raised. Today, a fund size for us, say in the U.S., might be $14 billion for the U.S. fund. Asia was close to $10 billion and so forth. Today, it's just a different business. Everybody understands it. And what's interesting about it today, particularly, is there are a lot of institutions that say, look, I need to get returns because I have a pension fund. I need to get 7 or 8% just to meet my liabilities that I have to meet the obligations for the pensioners. It's hard to get 8% today on a consistent basis. So more and more pension funds and others are investing in private equity because historically those returns have been significantly better than the stock market has been, than the debt market, than real estate, than infrastructure investing, etc. Now there's higher risk involved, but if you diversify, which everybody does, and they're not putting all their eggs in one basket in one deal or with one firm necessarily, they can do very well. So give you an example of how have we done for 43 years, which we started in 1976, investing really 77 is our first full year of investing, call it 42 years. We've had a 26% compounded rate of return before we take out our profit participation and before the fees that come to us where the institutions are paying us, which nets out to about 19% for the institutions. That's been over a long period of time. And they look at it and say, well, there's no way I can get that kind of return in other asset classes. And so that's why it's become a very popular asset class. We've been able to raise a lot of money. And now a lot of individuals are also saying they would love to be able to participate in private equity. And it's not that easy to do unless you have enough money, because these are private funds. You've got to be able to hold the investments for a long time and so forth. But even having said that, institutions are saying, you know, I'll take your money, I'll invest it, and we're going to put a lot of money into the private equity arena.
While Wall Street was beginning to know you, they really got to know you. In 1988, you engineered the buyout of RJR Nabisco.
Right.
A book and a film made of the buyout, Barbarians at the Gate. Purchase price was over $24 billion, highest that had been paid for a commercial enterprise up to that time.
Yeah. Actually, it turned out all in with the debt and everything, about $30 billion was what that turned out to be.
Then in 2007, you surpassed your own record with the $45 billion acquisition of Energy Future Holdings. It was the biggest corporate takeover in history.
That is correct at the time. That's right.
The Barbarians at the Gate, were you comfortable with film that was made of that and the book? How did that make you feel as that all became so public?
Well, it's interesting. The book, when they decided to write the book, they talked to us. And actually, as I read that book, once it was completed by Brian Burroughs, I learned some things that I didn't know, because I didn't know, obviously, what the other side was doing all the time. So it filled in some gaps for me. The book itself, I have to say, was fairly accurate. It was a good book. It was interesting. I'm not sure I would have used a title. I wasn't crazy about that title. I ended up we always had to explain we're really not barbarians, but it's okay. I've been called worse, so that's okay. And in Germany, they call us locusts. So barbarian and locusts and God knows what else I've been called. It's okay. It's what it is. We got through it, and I would always say, the good part about it, when it was just the newspapers writing about it, I said, well, thank God they haven't made a book. And, of course, they then write the book, Barbarians at the Gate. And I said, well, good part about it is they haven't done a movie. Lo and behold, Ray Stark bought the rights to the book and did a movie. Now, the movie was not accurate at all. He kept sending me the script, and I kept sending it back to him, and I said, you're way off base. You've got to get this in much better shape. And he rewrote it once and sent it back the second time. I said, you're better, but you still aren't even close. He said, look, Henry, I'm going to go with it. It really doesn't matter. It's just entertainment. So don't get too excited about the movie. The book, as I say, was fairly accurate. And back up a second. The first few years when we were buying companies in the 80s, let's say the first 10 or so years of KKR, every article that was written, we walked on water. Now, that's crazy. You can't do that. It's not going to be, and we didn't walk on water, and that doesn't last forever anyway. So I'll never forget one day I picked up the New York Times. I was on my way to work, and I look on the front page of the business section, and it says, crack in the house that debt built, KKR has a problem. Well, we had a small company that was called Siemens Furniture. The company wasn't doing as well as we had hoped. It got caught in a cycle in an economic downturn. And as a result of that, we were having some issues with it. But I never forget when I read that, my heart just sunk. I thought, oh, God. And that was the first bad article we've had. Now, over time, you learn that, you know, they're going to write what they're going to write. Forbes had a picture of me one time with my head on a platter. That was all. It was just that. My name wasn't even mentioned in the magazine. There was no article about me, not anything. So I called Steve Forbes and I said, tell me, why is it that I'm on the cover like this? I don't appreciate that at all. And he said, look, Henry, I'm just trying to sell magazines. You're a known business figure. That was it. That was his only explanation. I've had good articles written, and whenever you have a good article written, you know there's going to be a bad one coming somewhere. And I've had bad ones written, and you say, well, so they've written a bad one. It's another one. So what? As long as no one ever says that I'm not honest, that I'm not straightforward, I'm not a man of my word, and have the highest integrity, which I do, that they're going to write what they're going to write. I'll give you an example of that also. 1 year after we bought RGR Nabisco, the Financial Times decided they wanted to make us Men of the Year, George Roberts and I. We weren't quite sure why they were making us Men of the Year. Then we bought a big company, but you know, I have a saying, don't congratulate us when we buy a company. Any fool can buy a company, just pay enough. But anyway, they decided that they would write this article, make us Men of the Year. Reporter comes in to see me. He's interviewing me, and he finishes, and he said, my God, you're nothing like I thought you were. I said, well, what do you think I was? You thought I had two heads and horns and all? He said, yeah, just about. He says, because I didn't know you. And that's the problem. So today, we do spend time with the press. We get to know them. We invite them in here to meet all of our people. When there's not a secret, you know, there's nothing to hide, all of a sudden they say, gee, you guys are normal people. You're doing business as you should, and you're honest, and so forth. So people are going to write. I don't get too excited about it one way or the other now. As I said, once I got over that one problem, the article about Siemens Furniture, it really hadn't bothered me that much. I didn't enjoy going through the RGR Nabisco press time, but it's what it was. I guess it goes with the territory.
Yeah.